This is Project, the podcast that follows ideas from their inception to their reality. I would describe interviewing this episode's guest as an education on how to make a great drink. Renaud started his career as a bartender after leaving France for London, where he progressed as a mixologist and went on to develop drinks, whole cocktail menus, and then manage bars all over London, and now the world, with the Robuchon Group. Our conversation details Renaud's creative process and how he developed it from tasting wine with his father and ultimately ending with Renaud's newest venture, Composition, a rum-based spirit brand. I met Renaud through a restaurant called Louis, where he hired me as a junior bartender, so it was brilliant to talk to him about his career and how he ended up being my boss for a year, and also tried to teach me everything he could. One of the things he did teach me is the fundamentals of how to develop a great drink. And that's what I asked him to explain here.
There's many ways to go about this, right? And I have my ways. There are several for me. And I know that other people work in very different ways. So because for a long time I worked for a spirit brand and we did a lot of research because we were trying to build educative content for bartender on how to become a little bit more creative. We researched tools and mechanic, and I even did some reading on what's chemically happening in the brain, which, I mean, I don't recommend it unless you are in that field because it's quite heavy reading. But basically, the core point that I try to share with all the people who work with me to get a certain level of synergy is people need to understand that creativity does not come from a sparkle in the brain. It never happens, right? Rare occasions will prove me wrong, but generally it doesn't happen. And the people that are very, very creative are the people that are the most curious, the most research-driven, and the most educated. So obviously I'm not going to learn everything about everything. I would love to, but I'm not academic in that way. But so every time I try to invite everybody who works with me, and Joe, you've done it, is to find an idea. And when I say an idea, it can be absolutely anything, but it just needs to create a starting point, because if you don't have a starting point, then you cannot implement any direction. Being creative does require some level of direction. So if you remember when I said ideas, I always insisted on the fact it could be an idea in a book, it could be a sentence, it could be a music track, it could be a painting, it could be anything. And when we worked together, you saw it, because on the menu that we developed at the time, one of your drinks that came on the menu was based on the purchase of a piece of land in the US from the French government by the American government through the exchange of gold, and that was a great drink. The importance of finding the idea is because it forces you into starting on how can I translate this idea, in the case of a bar, into a drink. So I'm going to find one simple aromatic profile or taste or ingredients that can represent this idea. Or sometime one idea can have several elements and you translate each element into a drink. It's what you did with the Louisiana Gold. You know, you had five lead actors in this transaction and you came up with five ingredients that represent each actors. And then the aim was to find which one was the right ingredients, how we process them into the drink and how we balance the drink. But one important thing is that from the moment you have your core flavor or your core ingredient, which will have a flavor, or I prefer the word aromatic because it's a lot larger than flavor. It's sort of anything can be an aromatic profile. Grass can be an aromatic profile. Pine tree can be. But ultimately, then from that starting point, you do the research to find what other ingredient or flavors or aromas pair with that. And this is not something you can invent. You can trial. Trial and error can lead you to a lot of things, but if you do a little bit of research, you're going to find a few options, 2, 3, 4, 10 sometimes, and you're going to pick 1, 2, or 3, and you're going to go through the same process of research. And again, this is research. You take the next one and you find another flavor or another ingredient that can pair with this, and you build it in this way. In the idea, we're still talking about creating a cocktail here or creating a liquid. It works if you create a dish. It works if you create a lot of things that can be consumed. The reality of my personal experience is that whenever me and the team I was working with did this, the result was always better, which is extremely important, a lot better because they were more refined. They were more diverse because we did the research to open our own minds, to get new ideas and to get new options, and more attractive because already there's a lot more complexity and diversity in the drink, and there's a wonderful story behind it. And the story is you starting from a point in time and building the drinks around this. So if you implement, and this is one process that I use because I am fond of it and it works for me. There's a lot of other processes. Some are a lot more random. Some are a lot more categoric. And some are more technique driven, which could be, when I say technique driven, something that we've seen quite a lot in bars, which is a great thing often I find, is that a bartender might find one ingredient or one flavor and find the best way to express this one flavor into a drink, which sometimes gives something that is maybe less complex but is a lot more striking in experiencing that one flavor, because you're going to have some extraction, some distillation, some liqueur, some alcohol, some infusions, a little bit of different techniques implemented in one elegant, holistic final result, which in the bar industry we call simplexity. It's very simple in appearance, it's simple when you experience it, but it's quite complex in the way it's delivered and produced.
It may come as no surprise that Renaud's father was also in the alcohol industry, producing wine. So how did Renaud's father influence his creative process?
I think only once in my life I was part of the blending process with my dad. I was an elder teenager, maybe 17 or 18, I can't remember. And I spent 3 hours with my dad testing all the different wines and looking at him blending the different wines. You know, in France, we tend to blend of different grapes, varieties. So where we make wine, it's primarily Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Merlot and Malbec, right? So those are the grapes available in the appellation. It's an AOC, so you're not free of putting whatever you want. So it's a question of finding the right balance in between different wines to show what it is that you want in the final product. Is it you want more tannin, you want more earthiness, you want more fruit, you want more acidity? Each wine, each different grape variety brings something different to the table, and so you blend this. This only was the witness of once, so it didn't unlock my creativity. But growing up in a French family in a winery, from a younger age than average, I started testing wine, different wine. And my dad, being a winemaker, was curious about other wines. So we often had not our wine on the table, but others. And he very quickly taught me how to taste and what are the flavors that you find in different wine. What is high minerality? What is high citrus? What are stone fruits versus white fruits versus other things? What are the different green aromatic? Is it grass? Is it asparagus? Is it other things? So I was exposed to the understanding of flavors, I think, at a younger age than most. I'm not saying I'm special, just, you know, by the age of 11, I already had done an actual tasting of several wines, which most people only start doing when they're, I'm saying tasting, not drinking. So tasting wines, people start in their 20s. I was lucky, I see myself lucky, that my dad showed me how to understand and appreciate much earlier. And let's face it, when I was 11 and tried red wine, I thought it was the most horrendous thing in my life. But I already had an introduction on how to taste it and what were the things people were looking for in them. So in that way, it built my toolkit earlier than most. And that toolkit is still up there in my brain. You know, those memories are vivid, and I remember the process. And when I discovered the process again and again and again, it became an automatism in my brain, on my tongue, in my nose. So, you know, it's part of the process as well.
Your dad unconsciously kind of gave you a creative framework, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And framework is the key, right? He didn't give me the creativity, but he gave me the tool to understand how to work with the different product that I work today. Because the way you taste a wine or spirit or other ingredients, you can use the same process. So the framework has been very cool because, again, I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, blowing my own trumpet, but I earlier than most had the process of understanding, learning and acquiring the knowledge that allowed me to be more creative. for sure. That's no doubt. And today, and for years, in my 20s, when I was a young bartender, I spent my life smelling everything. I was smelling lemons. People thought I was a weirdo. But I could smell variations from a lemon to another, which was interesting because I knew the drinks would be slightly different.
So, how did Renaud's father influence his creative practice? Well, he gave Renaud the base for his creative framework, imparting the skill of recognizing individual flavors and understanding how they react with each other. Being a key part of Renaud's creative process, how does he successfully leverage this skill?
I truly believe that you become more creative when you learn more. The more you learn and understand, in my case, spirits, which in my 20s, I was an absolute geek. I read everything I could. I tasted everything I could. I tried to understand how each product were made, what was the influence of each technique, different distillation, different aging, different raw products, what potato gives versus corn versus, I mean, those are very basic. But if you start to delve into that and understand the interaction from each other and the actual organoleptic composition, which means, you know, what different ingredients delivers in aromatic profile and how they interact with your tongue, your mouth, your nose, your eyes, how your brain processes this information, you acquire a certain level of, not knowledge, but understanding. I'm not a master distiller, but you develop a certain level of understanding which allow you to build more ideas. And as I said, ideas are the source of creativity. Well, I grew up in a winery, so I saw my dad blending wines and things like that. But really, starting to be creative about cocktails it came quite late because I was, as I said, I was a geek. The first menu I developed was more of a joinery of different odd classics that I thought was interesting. It fit the bar at the time, and at the time, old forgotten classics were quite in trend, so I focused on that. But then the more I learned about those classics, the more I started to find new ingredients or odd process that had been forgotten that I trialed, and then trial and error made me discover new things. And then I was like, hold on, I can put this and that together and it's probably going to be delicious. And as it turns out, in most cases they were. So again, I don't think I could pinpoint a moment in time when I was like, ooh, well, that's a great idea, or that's a wonderful result that I've had. It's a big book of different experience and learning process that has led to a brain well filled that allow me to put more ideas on the table. This is for me certainly the best way I can see it. The more I learn, the more I have ideas. And when I say ideas, you know, the more I'm becoming creative. And for a long time I thought, I've had so many ideas, I'm dried out. I'm never going to come up with another new idea. And then actually, as soon as you start the process again, well, new ideas come about. And, you know, new ideas get blended with old ideas that didn't work, but now you can make them work because you have a better understanding and you have more knowledge, so you know how to construct it differently in a way that is going to give a good result. You know, I'll give you a simple example. Whey is the water of milk. I discovered that quite recently. I mean, I knew what it was, but I never used it in drinks. And then a friend of mine did some drinks in my bar because he needed a space to work, and I tried it. He did a drink that was quite nice. And I was like, this is actually quite cool, but it's not very concentrated flavor. You know, it's light, it's more of a mouthfeel thing, but it does have a certain specific taste. And so how do I make it? It's that sort of buttery water, and I need to make it a little bit drier. What is it that I know that can be dry? And the one thing that popped in my mind was hay. And I was like, all right, well, how do I do that? I can't really infuse hay in milk water. That doesn't seem right. I didn't try because it didn't feel right, but I knew that I could infuse that in something that had a certain level of dryness already, and that directed me to a dry vermouth, which is wine dry. It contains sugar, but it has herbs, so overall it's a little bit oxidative that creates dryness as well. So I was like, and let's put those two together. And then I kind of got stuck. So I went back to the learning curve. I was like, what is something that can accentuate this dry grass kind of thing? And it drives me towards perfume ingredients, and one that has grown fashionable because a very talented and famous bartender made it into a liqueur called vetiver, which is something quite, it's something that grows in Europe and in France quite heavily. And It's something that when I tried the liqueur, I didn't actually like. I didn't like the taste. But everything through the research seems to point towards that direction, that it seems to be an ingredient that pairs with everything else I have in that drink. And, you know, as I said, you can't just come up with new ideas all the time. You have to do this research. And glad I did, because now the drink is whey, vermouth infused with hay and verjus, and a little bit of a vetiver liqueur and topped with champagne. And it's... We tried the drinks 5 minutes before we presented it to our boss. I'm like, well, that's probably not going to work. No idea. And it's probably the most delicious thing on our menu. So you see, again, the creativity was there. There were some ideas. There was the desire to try with something and experiment. But it did require an element of learning and research. And, you know, most of the most talented writers and painters will tell you the same. If you want to be really, really good at this, you got to learn and earn your craft. Same for the chefs. The best chefs are the ones that start from the very bottom, went from a house to another, learn with the best chef, learn all the different techniques, learn all the different ingredients, and after 10, 15, sometimes 20 years of it, build the confidence to go and build their own recipes. If we talk about the spirit brand, which is the aim, the idea was to create a liquid that was very approachable, very sippable, and that would allow anyone and everyone to experience the most amazing flavors in the liquids through their extreme expression. So when you drink whiskey or rum or bourbon, or primarily whiskey, they're very often finished in a cask. Instead of finishing in a cask, what if I blend different spirits and using one of the liquid that would have been in that cask? Often we talk about sherry, or what if I use a very rare, highly concentrated product of this category, like a sherry, a very old age, and I can blend that into the final liquids to deliver those very striking aromatic. I simplify the consumer approach to the liquid, because you don't need to look for those hint of aromatic that have gone through the barrel and then reintegrated into the spirit. I just give them on the golden tray. The creativity was there, and then behind that was the research of what is that one product, can I find that one liquid that is available. That was a longer process. You know, finding the liquid took me almost 3 years, and creating the perfect recipe took me another 2 months.
Focusing on ingredient research over the course of his career, Renner has acquired a vast catalogue of knowledge. Drawing from this catalogue has allowed composition to taste as it does. However, creating a drink and bringing a drink to market are two entirely different skill sets. So how did Renner learn to bring composition to market?
Where did composition start?
I was working for another brand, and I went in their aging warehouses, and there they had some of their own liquids, and then they had some liquids that they purchased from other places. And, you know, we were sort of guests in the warehouse, and they said, you guys can do your own blend, use whatever you want. You know, we could only make one bottle, so if we wanted to use a 25 years old rum, we could. You know, they weren't going to make 100 litres, it was just for one bottle. And so we tried a bit of everything, and we tried this very old Moscatel that they had cooking in the Caribbean. So it wasn't Moscatel anymore, it was something else. It was, the sugar had collapsed, the aromatic was insanely concentrated, it was this pure gold, if you like, these kind of flavors. And so I decided to put some of that in my blend. I think at the time, if I remember, it was 7% of the blend, so it's a tiny portion. But it brought something really different that I had never tried before in a spirit. You can try that in, you know, mixed cocktails, or when you make cocktail at home and you put a bit of this and a bit of that. But in an aged spirit that was sippable like a spirit, there was nothing quite like it. And that stuck with me for 6 years. I was like, I really want to do that. You know, it's not a bottle cocktail. It is a spirit. It's 37% alcohol. It's aged and it sips like a rum, but a very exceptional rum with very interesting characteristics that you can't find in any other rum, because, well, from a legal standpoint, it's not a rum, because that adds... Now it's 20% of a very different Moscatel that I find in a very different place, but it's 44 years old. So you can imagine that the concentration of flavors is insane. And so it brings this new dimension, this body it brings sugar because Muscatel has natural sugar, so it has a wonderful mouthfeel, and it got blended with rums that some are very dry, some one is quite spicy and one is very smooth. So you have this blend of aromatic, which just, yeah, you can't really find anywhere else. So I tried something almost by accident. I tried the liquid, the Muscatel by itself. I decided to see what it would taste like in rum, and that was very much a creative process. I have an idea, let's test. And it landed well, so much so that I decided to spend 5 years of my bloody life doing it for real.
And when did composition become something tangible?
So it became an actual real project on the third weeks of lockdown, the first lockdown. I had very cleverly separated from my previous job 2 weeks before lockdown. So I was like, okay, I've got nothing else to do. So how about I try that? So I started doing the research, contact a few people, try to understand the costs, the logistic, the bottles, the brandings, all of this. And the more I look into it, the more I realized I was like, actually, yeah, I can probably do that. And I actually went back to the people I tried it. Sadly, the stock was actually dead. It had aged too much, so it sadly had gone to waste. But I set myself on a mission to find a replacement, which took a year and a half to find, and then find the right ingredients to compose with the Muscatel. What were the different rum, the different origin of rum, the different flavor profile, and I find someone that could help me with that, or someone that could supply me with that. The work started week six of lockdown, and the blend was done, the actual blending of the liquids in large batch, so 1,200 litres, was done 9 weeks ago.
What were the steps that you had to take to get from finding that supplier to having your first batch?
You grab your laptop and your phone, and you find the different producers of the product you're looking for, and you call or you send emails, and some tell you you're dreaming, mate, no. And then some, it's actually their job, and there's a whole industry, but without learning about this, you don't know there's a whole industry. So you get acquainted with the industry, you find the right product, you find the right suppliers, you discuss the volumes and the prices, and you measure feasibility, financial and logistic, and then you gather samples. So I gathered 35 samples of different blends of rum and 12 samples of different wines of different age statement of different location, and then I almost gave up. And then I was at Louis and I gave a call, okay, it's the last trial. And I was looking for something that was 25 years old. And the guy was like, yeah, I actually have older stuff than that. And then suddenly, back on track. And then in the meantime, you know, you talk to other people because you need somebody to help you in designing the product, designing the packaging, the bottle, the label, and doing all of that. And you have all those conversations, and, you know, you need to pay some money because people don't work for free. And then you pull a few flavors because you've worked in this industry for a long time, and few people give a favor so you don't have to spend all of your money. And then once all of that was done, well, the aim is to find money because it's not cheap to create the spirit brand. And I did find a bit of money, just enough. And then you find a supplier for the bottle, and then a supplier for the cork, and then a company that can do the bottling and the storage. And you do all those moving parts at the same time, so while doing a full-time job. So, you know, brain was quite full. And you just keep on moving forward one step at a time until you either hit a wall and it's no longer doable, or you keep on climbing the next little wall and move to the next one. And it's what I did. And it was a slow and painful process, but I'm glad I went through it because I've learned a lot and I've got something I'm proud of.
And do you ever think you'd be able to tell which wall you can't climb over?
I mean, it's difficult to say because you know, you can, if there's a wall you can't climb over, you can walk back 5 step and find a different direction, which I almost did. There's walls that you can't climb over because of sometimes technicality, legality, you know, there's a lot of things that you can't, if they're illegal, end of. And then your decision to decide to fall back a little bit and take a different direction or stop. Bottom line is, from the moment you've had your idea and the creative process is finished, if you really want to implement it, it's grafting. You know, you just, it's one step at a time and you keep progressing and you keep learning. And, you know, almost, sorry, pardon my French, almost massively fucked up because I had already, everything was ready, the label was done, the liquid was ordered. I had spent a lot of money in ordering all the different elements. And then a friend of mine just made a silly little comment. And I went back to everything I did and I realized that my label was completely illegal. Like, I was missing legal mentions, sugar content, allergens. I was missing a lot of things. And I was about to order the labels, 2,000 of them, which is not a huge amount of money, but it's not the kind of money you want to lose. And so, you know, thanks God, I kept on having conversation with anyone I could meet. And it's like, oh, what about that? And what about that? And what about that? And, you know, people share their experience, and from that you can learn a lot. So yeah, it requires a lot of work. When you start this kind of project, more work than I ever imagined. If I had known the amount of work, I probably wouldn't have done it.
Through perseverance, composition was born. However, Renaud made mistakes along the way. And apart from making the label legal, what advice would he give to someone embarking on creating their own spirit brand?
Get ready to put a lot of work into it and a lot of passion, and have the absolute confidence that you have something solid. This is very important. On the other hand, do not wait for it to be perfect to bring it to market. You know, as soon as you can, as soon as you have something that is worthy, bring it to market, because this will open more doors than just keep on working on something, and you will always find something to improve, and you will lose years in development just by trying to make it perfect. It's never going to be perfect anyway. So, you know, make sure you have something you are proud of, that you believe is, you know, an actual product, if it's in the case of a product, a spirit or something else. Make sure you have something good, and as soon as you can, bring it to market. And make sure you learn taxation.
And why do you keep going with it? What do you find so rewarding about the process?
Because you keep on realizing that when you thought it was a limit and you have done everything you could do, you start again and there's new things coming through. And I still have this true appreciation of a drink well made. So whenever I am successful in creating a drink, I find it very exciting. And, you know, the more we push in creativity, the more the drinks become polarizing. You know, the more you push into one direction, the more you face the reality that not everybody is going to like it. And less people are going to like it. If you go really, really far out and find new odd and weird ingredients and new technique and methods. But whenever I come up with something, and usually I don't do it by myself, I don't like doing it by myself. I like to work with other people because they bring new ideas and they bring different point of view and different preferences. But when we land on something and everybody's like, whoa, this is delicious, I find it highly satisfying. So it's the motivation to come up with the next one and the next one and the next one. So yes, but obviously, you know, as I said, the brand has been a massive amount of work, and I've done something I'm really proud of, and hopefully I'm going to manage to bring it to market in the coming weeks. You know, it's the next step, because I've made one blend, but there's already a couple of blends, new blend in the making, and I'm keep on going. But I have a real love for spirits in general, even more than cocktails. Now, when I go out, I rarely drink cocktails. As I said, you know, I find the creative process more interesting and fulfilling than the drinking itself. You got to give yourself some tools, even if they're your own. You know, the ideas that I shared, they're kind of my own. I mean, if you remember, Joe, you used to work with me, I showed you this video of Grand Acats and the flavor bouncing, right? This is a tool I use all the time. It's not mine, but I took ownership of it, and I use it absolutely all the time. I'm not even sure Grand Acats use it all the time, but it's something that I find powerful for me to push further. So give yourself the tools and learn enough so you don't have the boundaries of not knowing what the next step is. Being creating a cocktail or creating a brand or creating anything, creating a bench, you know. To create a bench, you need to make sure how the wood clamping together and what kind of glue to use and how to work the wood. If you haven't learned that, then the result will be flawed and it will break in 2 months. If you have learned the technique, then you can start building stuff.
From tasting his father's wine to his own spirit, Renaud's journey has almost come full circle. Truly understanding the elements of your craft, in this case flavour, seems to be why Renaud is so successful at his. The craft of making a good drink.
Powered by Transmission Roundhouse.